Kingdom prosperity is a work, not a game. Prosperity in the kingdom is a result of our work with God in the covenant, not an issue of chance or luck. And Abraham, the symbol of blessings in scriptures, actualized God's agenda of blessing by a quality work with God. So prosperity is a work, a covenant work with God, and not a game of chance. Kingdom prosperity is a result of a covenant work with God and not a game of chance. And I want us to be very sensitive. I don't consider myself as a teacher of the mystery of prosperity, neither do I consider myself as a preacher of the word of prosperity, but I'm privileged to be a messenger of the mystery of prosperity. And I want to believe that these 4 Sundays is going to stir up a revolution in your own life. August 26, 1987, the Lord spoke to me expressly. Arise, get back home and make my people rich. It was no assumption. It was no figment of imagination. It was a direct heavenly vision from heaven. I still remember very, very carefully, very distinctly. I was in embassy suits in Washington, D.C., when the Lord spoke in clear terms to me, get back home and make my people rich. It was so urgent. I abandoned every other thing I needed to do. All engagements were canceled, and I started racing down home as it was a 6-day program. And today, many sitting down here are partakers of that prophetic mandate, and many more are coming into it today. And those who are in it are flying higher today. You see, when God commissions a man, commissions a woman, it is not the finality of what they say that is important. It is the fact that they say what they are told to say. And as they say, God backs it up to confirm it. One of the poorest messages one could ever imagine was the one that Jonah preached in Nineveh. 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. What kind of message is that? No allowance for remedy. 40 days. He said, go and preach to them the preaching that I bid thee. What I ask you to say, go and say it. As you said, leave me to it. And that message that seems not to have no sense stirred up the greatest revival in the history of man. That revival did not only stop with men, it went on to animals and fowls. Everyone in Nineveh went on a fast. Can you imagine when animals go on a fast? It was a spiritual tornado. So I'd like you to receive the teachings of this month as that of a messenger communicating to you the message from the sender, and you can trust the sender to confirm his word in your life. This is very important. Walking in prosperity. I'd like to take these scriptures from chapter 17 of Genesis and verses 1 and 2. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. That means walk with me. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. So your multiplication and my multiplication is a result of our walk with God. And we saw it in the life of Abraham. He was constantly keeping pace with God. The Lord said to him in chapter 12 of Genesis, and verse 1, and now the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that blesseth thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And verse 4 says, and so Abraham departed. So prosperity begins with a walk with God. Abraham had stayed in that place for 75 years, but God was out to give him a change of story, was out to change his level, was out to give him a new beginning. And that had to be provoked by his determination to walk with God. And so Abraham departed. He departed from poverty to prosperity. He departed from frustration to celebration. Abraham departed. So his journey into prosperity, Abrahamic blessing, is a result of his quality walk with God. Quality walk with God. And so Abraham departed. And so Abraham departed. Now in chapter 17, the Lord said, okay, Abraham, you will need to cut a covenant with me and circumcise the foreskin of every male born in your house. And Abraham rose up immediately, circumcised himself and his son and every male born in his house. Chapter 22, the Lord said, take thy son, thy only son Isaac, and bring him to a mountain that I will show you, and you sacrifice him unto me there. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. If you want to experience true and lasting prosperity, true and enduring prosperity, true and generational prosperity, it begins with your determination to embark on a quality walk with God. That is the foundation of Abrahamic blessing. Walk with me, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. I will multiply thee exceedingly. Just walk with me. And what does it mean to walk with him? Is to be in agreement with him. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No. So we must get to know the terms and willingly comply with whatever he says that guarantees our prosperity. Walking with God is not walking into church. It is keeping with the terms regarding any provision that God said is available to you. This is very important. Until you discover the terms of the covenant, financial struggle continues. Until you discover the terms of the covenant and practically engage them, financial struggles in any man's life continues. Your recovery and my recovery begins with a discovery of the terms of the covenant. Because our empowerment for wealth is on the platform of the covenant. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish to you the covenant that is swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. As it is this day. So you are empowered. I am empowered on the platform of the covenant. So covenant practice is what empowers any child of God for wealth. That I discovered over 25 years ago. And what a joy that the proofs are all over the places. So kingdom prosperity is not a promise that you claim in prayers. or you walk or you tap into by fasting, kingdom prosperity answers to covenant practice. Answers to what? Kingdom prosperity answers only to covenant practice. It has no respect for prayers. It has no regard for fasting. It answers absolutely to covenant practice. It answers absolutely to covenant practice. When you become a covenant addict, you become a candidate for sweatless prosperity. When you become a covenant, I'm not talking about cutting corners, I'm talking about cutting covenants. I'm not talking about cutting corners, I'm talking about cutting covenants. I'm not talking about, you know, locating connections. Just like that, my precious son went everywhere collecting complimentary cards. That is the best the world can give you. I've seen many people in this country who wish that they are dead now by virtue of what they used to be and what they are now. That is how far the world can leave you. But whatever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. Whatever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be taken away from it. Nothing can be added to it. The Lord dreadeth that men might fear before him. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 14. What is unique about biblical prosperity? It guarantees posterity. Biblical prosperity guarantees posterity. Abraham's prosperity is still speaking up to today in the natural Israel. That tiny nation is a strangely prosperous nation because biblical prosperity guarantees posterity. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 14. Whatever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. So you can be sure what will happen to your children's children, to their fourth generation, their fifth generation, by what you are doing today. So when you become connected to the covenant, you are creating a future for your generations after you. Now what is unique about it? That is what is unique about it. What other thing is unique about kingdom prosperity? It is sorrow-free. The blessings of the Lord make it rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. It is sorrow-free. It is immune against all satanic assaults. You are free from depression, free from the fear of the unknown. You are surer of tomorrow than even you are of today. It is sorrow free. The devourers are kept at bay. They do not molest your field, neither can they harass your children. It is sorrow free. What other thing is unique about kingdom prosperity? It guarantees security. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from his sanctuary. Remember thy offerings and thy burnt sacrifices, and grant all thy heart's desires. Psalm 20, beginning from verse 3. So it's so important for us to know we are not just looking for what to say. God has amazing packages for you in the covenant of prosperity. And I'd like you to open up there for this month for his unusual touch. Can I hear your amen? Yeah. I want us to understand that everything great has its root in grace. It is grace that makes anything great in the kingdom. It is what? Grace. Say with me, grace. Say with me, grace. It is not the struggles of man that makes rich. It is the blessings of the Lord. It is not the sweat of man that makes great. It is the blessings of the Lord. Except the Lord builds the house. Psalm 127 verse 1 to 3. They labor in vain that builds it. And except the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen are away but in vain. It is in vain you got up early in the morning and went to bed late in the night, eating the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Psalm 127 verse 1 to 3. So it is the hand of God that makes the difference. Not just our hard work. Without the hand of God, hard work alone never makes a high flyer. It is the hand of God that does. Except the Lord builds the house, it will remain a daydream that never comes true. It's in vain you got up early in the morning and went to bed late in the night, eating the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved rest. My Bible says, by strength shall no man prevail. We are in the age where skill is over celebrated. I never talk about special skill, special skill, special skill. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, and then I returned and I saw under the sun that the battle is not to the strong, neither the race to the swift, neither yet favor to men of skill. So skill alone does not guarantee prosperity. I like you to place appropriate value on grace. And then you'll be willing to align with the demands of grace in any area of your life. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 9. By strength shall no man prevail. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11. The battle is not to the strong, the race is not to the swift, neither yet favor to men of skill. It is grace that makes all the difference. It is the blessings of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. And if you look at scriptures carefully, you see prosperity is tied to grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Even though he was rich, yet for your sake and my sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was rich, yet for your sake and my sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Grace, rich. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and beginning from verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9 and beginning from verse 8. And you see the place of grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and beginning from verse 8. And it says here, and God is able to make what? All grace abound towards you, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything unto all bountifulness that causes through us thanksgiving to God. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. as it is written. That is telling you how that grace is unfolded, how that grace is released. He has dispersed, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endured forever. It's very important. He's able to make all grace. So everything great in the kingdom has its root in grace. So great prosperity is a result of great grace. And great grace is a result of great covenant practice. I mean, God is able to make all grace abound in confirming his word that says he has dispersed, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. So that grace responds to the practice of verse 9. This is very important. So great prosperity is a product of great grace, which is in response to great covenant practice. You cannot be anything, I cannot be anything beyond what the grace of God makes of me. This is a very proud generation that seems to believe absolutely in their self-worth, that celebrate their skill and wonder whether God is still relevant. And that's why the struggle has been unending. It's time to return back to base. Paul the Great said, I am what I am by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. I am what I am by the grace of God. Every one of us should recognize that the prosperity of this ministry can only be defined by grace. Grace is the only way to practically define the dimension of the prosperity of this commission today. A commission that runs a university like running a nursing school, that there is no traceable stress one day, no meeting in the night to determine how the next thing will come. Nobody thinks of it. And that is the kind of grace that God said is available to you. He said God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. As is written, he has dispersed, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. And now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything, in all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. That's very important. I have said here before that because of theological definition of grace, the church suddenly became irresponsible. They call grace unmerited favor. So that is, no matter what you do, you can get at grace. That's very satanic. Grace does not connote unmerited favor. It only defines divine favor. Come and say divine favor. Which answers to man's obedience. Divine favor, which is God's response to man's obedience. And this scripture clearly defines it, that grace is available to you all, but it is in confirmation of what is written. He has dispersed, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. Now he that ministereth seed, it's so clear. Look at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap what? Also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So you see, the gateway, the window to supernatural prosperity is giving. What is it? He has dispersed, he has given to the poor. Now he's enriched in all things. Being enriched in everything, in all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Let me share with you in brief what I saw that brought me out of any trace of poverty. I'll show you these few scriptures, and I believe there will be an impartation on your life. What did I see that made me scream, I can never be poor? I said that 25 years ago when prosperity was a strange message in the land. When we who began the preaching and teaching of prosperity, while we were the wretch among the people. We were enemies of the gospel, according to many people. There are many preachers in this country today that hated the message of prosperity with such passion, and hated those who preach it with such eagerness. But everything has changed today. What did I see that made me know that I can never be poor? I'd like you to open it, don't assume it. Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy and verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. May I please start to read from verse 7 and see what biblical prosperity offers. 8 verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Amen. And then he went on and said here, don't you ever say in thy heart, verse 17, my power and my might and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. That means what I have in stock for you, there is no way your hand and your power can make it happen. The dimension of blessing I have in stock for you, your hand and your power cannot make it happen. So don't you ever say when you get into that realm that your hand and your power made it so. He said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So power for wealth is established on the platform of covenant practice. As I saw these scriptures, I said, so kingdom prosperity does not answer to prayers? He said, no. Has no respect for fasting? He said, no. Then how? It only answers to covenant practice. Say with me, covenant practice. When Abraham started working with God, the king Abimelech said to him, take this away, let me give you this. He said, no, I will not take a threat from thee, lest thou say thou hast made Abraham rich. Kingdom prosperity is distinct. It comes direct from source. And my Bible said Abraham was old and sickly in age, and God has blessed him in everything. That is how you will end your journey. It will be said of you that God has blessed you in everything. If that is true, let me hear your loudest amen. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. So there is a power for wealth. It comes from God. And when it comes from God, it stays as long as you remain on course with the covenant. What then is this covenant? Chapter 8 of Genesis. That was the question I asked. What is this covenant? Verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, that's after the flood, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I've done. Verse 22 together, let's read. Why the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That was where God established a covenant with man. That from henceforth, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Day and night, cold and heat, summer and winter. What is God saying? As long as you keep saying day and night, then know that seed time and harvest is still in force. As long as you begin to see cold and heat, then understand that seed time and harvest covenant is still in force. As long as you begin to see summer and winter, know that seed time and harvest remains in force. What does that mean? It means that until you can stop the day and the night, you can't stop the covenant of seed time and harvest. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen. This is God's covenant with man. Seed time and harvest shall not cease. Seed time and harvest shall not cease. So don't expect harvest time until you have engaged seed time. It is seed time that sets the pace for harvest time. Until you believe in seed time, you are not a candidate for harvest time. Seed time and harvest shall not cease. Open with me to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33 and verse 20. This is God still enforcing this scripture. Thus saith the Lord, verse 20, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. If you can't stop the day and the night, you can't stop my covenant with my people. Whatever I've covenanted with them on remains in force as long as the day and the night are changing positions. Verse 25 of the same chapter. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then may I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. So God's covenant is validated by the exchange of positions of day and night, cold and heat, summer and winter. That means you can count on the covenant any day. He said, my covenant will I not break. Psalm 89 verse 34. Nor alter the things that is gone forth out of my lips. So when you understand the covenant and you commit yourself to it, you have committed God's integrity to confirm. You have committed God's integrity to perform. When you discover the covenant and you commit yourself to its practice, God is obligated to perform. Because he cannot deny himself. God cannot deny himself. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. God cannot deny himself. My prayer is that this month will be your month of change. That this month will be your month of change. You have gone around that mountain long enough. You are overdue for a change of level. You are overdue for a change of position. And this month is marking the beginning of that change. This month is marking the beginning of that change. This month is marking the beginning of that change. It is not the paperwork of a man that makes rich. It is the blessings of the Lord. It is not the professional career of a man that makes rich. It is the blessings of the Lord. Sometimes 2 years ago, I stumbled on one world acclaimed businessman who deals in furniture. Who deals in what? And richer than Bill Gates. He deals in what? Furniture. There is no future in a career, but there is a future in the covenant. It's not what you are doing that is as important, but where you stand. I'd like you to be properly positioned. Something is about turning around your life. That little kiosk will soon blossom to become a shopping mall. All you need is to reposition yourself for a divine turnaround. Just reposition yourself. That's all you need. So biblical prosperity answers absolutely to covenant practice. God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, everyone that fears him and walks according to the rules will command the same results. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 and 35. Everyone that walks according to the rules will command the same order of results. God is no respecter of persons. This covenant works in every nation. God's word works in every land. Somebody called me from Europe. He said, please pray for me to break this curse of poverty in Europe. You are deceived to think there are no poor folks in America. There are too many homeless people in the West who die for free under the freezing cold, who live under curtains, because the ones you see on CNN are the ones you think about. They show the bad part of other nations. They show only the good part of their nation. I've been to a few farms in America, and I know that the same order of what we talk about here, they go through it. The answer is not in a country where you are hiding. The answer to abundance is in the covenant. The answer to abundance is in the covenant. Today, our church here, our ministry is located in Nigeria under a depressed economy by economic specialists. But see what the Lord has done. God will bless you this year. Until you do what is commanded, you are never in command. God is able to make all grace abound, not by waiting for it, but by putting yourself on the line in covenant practice. Grace does not answer to your cries, to your weepings, to your prayers, to your fastings. This grace, the grace of prosperity, answers to your practice. So if anything, you should just wake up from your slumber and begin the covenant work afresh. It's a work, it's not a game. I read as we begin to round up chapter 22 of Job. Job 22. Job chapter 22, I'm beginning from verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace, and thereby good shall come unto thee. Tell your neighbor, good is coming your way. Now verse 22, see how the good will come. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in your heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Then thou shalt thou put iniquity away from thy tabernacle. He said, then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Now, if you look at that scripture very well, he said, you better get acquainted with God. That is the only way to be free from the evils of lack and want. That's the only way to be free from the shame of begging and crawling. He said, get acquainted. Get to know what it takes from God. Get acquainted with God. Get acquainted with God and you'll be at peace, and then good shall come your way. And he said, receive, I pray. He said, I beg you, receive the law from his mouth, and lay up his word in your heart. If you are the one to determine when it happens, if you return to the Almighty, you shall be built up. You shall put iniquity from your tabernacle. You won't play the Nigerian game. You won't share the booties from thieves or public funds. You put iniquity. That means this prosperity will not answer to you as long as you keep running away with your financial iniquity. All financial games disqualifies you for it. He said, then you shall lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. So there is a law, and there are principles that guide the workings of that law. Amen. So there's a law. It is the law of seed time and harvest. There's a law of seed time that qualifies you for harvest. So that law is, I receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and operate that law within the principles of scriptures. Then put away iniquity from your tabernacle. Then you shall lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty will be your defense against every angry person, and you shall have plenty of silver. Can I hear your loudest amen? The robber that will enter Canaan land is not born. You know the reason why? The Almighty shall be thy defense. And you shall have plenty of silver. Even when this was inside the bush, and they were building this tabernacle, and they were giving cash to laborers, not one robber, as angry as the robbers in Otakubi, not one could dare enter into the bush to harass the laborers. The Almighty, so that covenant guarantees your security. It shall be your defense, and you shall have plenty of silver. Do you know that beginning from this morning, for every covenant practitioner, no devil through any robber will enter your dwelling place again? The Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. That's it. He's talking to us about what it takes to walk in the way. Understand the law, and then embrace the principles of the word of God that makes the law work. You are giving willingly, you are giving joyfully, You are giving bountifully. You are giving sacrificially. I mean, then it's not just the giving, it is the how the giving is carried out. And you shall have plenty of silver. Now verse 26. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Verse 29 together, let's read. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is a lifting up, and it shall save the humble person. Can I hear your amen? Amen. That is what makes it work. When you receive that law, and you operate that law within the principles of scriptures, you are put supernaturally in command of abundance. You are put supernaturally in command of abundance. In Malachi chapter 3, there is a thing that I'll need for you to see before we close. Malachi chapter 3. These people began to question, what prophet is it that we are serving God? Where is the profit for serving him? Why are people on the other side? Why do they appear to be more blessed than we are? Verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You can count on me, you can count on what I've said, any day, anytime, anywhere. That's what God is saying here. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return unto you? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But he said, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Therefore ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes unto the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to contain them. And I will rebuke the devourers for your sakes, and it shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast a young. Hallelujah. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and it shall not destroy the your ground, neither shall your vine cast a fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have worked mockfully for the Lord of hosts? This is what they said. It is vain that we serve God. That's what they said. We can't see the proofs of serving him. Why? Because they have not received his law, neither have they put his word to work. So they can't see it. God is not to blame, but that's the person to blame. As we close this morning, I'd like you to see the fundamental law in the school of abundance. That's the one we just read. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now with your tithe, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there will be not room enough to contain it. Return unto this law, and I will return unto you with my blessings. A large number of people in this assembly are living under such an open heaven. And I know many more are coming on today. Bring ye all the tithe, that is all of your increases. Everything that comes your way over a period of time, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Because every blessing that comes your way comes from God. And he said, a tenth of every such blessing is my portion. Take the remaining and do as you please with it. Everybody's quiet. I know there are people in this church that tithing is an uphill task for them. They try to rationalize, does it really matter? In fact, they try to calculate all my offerings during the month. When you put it together, it will be up to one tenth. It's a world of difference. Ye have robbed me in tithe and in offerings, meaning that tithe is separate from offerings. In tithes and in offerings. In tithes and in offerings. In tithes and in offerings. He said it too. So tithing is a fundamental law in the school of prosperity. Abraham, the symbol of blessings in scripture, paid the tithe of all. How many remember that? He paid that to Melchizedek, king of Salem, who had no father or mother and had no beginning. That was Christ in the picture. So tithing is a fundamental law. According to Hebrews chapter 7, it is God who receives our tithe in heaven. And that registers us for his supplies on earth. It guarantees our placement with his supplies. That is where the journey begins from. If you are not a tither, you are not a candidate for biblical prosperity. Why? Every other blessing that you may enjoy is vulnerable to the devourers. So your tithe is the security of his blessings in your life. He said, prove me now herewith if I will not rebuke the devourers for your sake. He won't come near whatever belongs to you. I will be your shield and your shelter. That's where covenant prosperity begins from. It begins with your tithing. Can I hear your amen? Amen. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, verse 1, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that have the sons of Levi, which receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, which is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from men received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, verse 8, men that die receive tithes. But what? But there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Christ receives our tithes up there. to register us for kingdom prosperity. To register us for covenant security. If you are Abraham's seed, then it's time to do the works of Abraham. Abraham was a tither. So for you and I to enjoy the Abrahamic dimension of blessing, we must embrace the law of tithing. Therefore, everyone in this church that will care to align with this law this year, you won't need to tell your testimonies. Men all around will see it on your life. Can I hear your loudest amen? Let me hear your loudest amen. There are testimonies people share. There are others that people see. This year, what men and women will begin to see is the order of testimony you begin to have. One Elijah came here one day. He looked up and down. God is great. God is great. Then he came up and said, even the blind should be able to see God here. That's a Muslim for you. He said, even the blind should be able to see God here. What the blind will be able to see are the order of things that will happen in your life this year. Let me say this in closing. Abraham sowed in that land and received in the same year a hundredfold. 1 year. Come on, say 1 year. Prove me now. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, I see you changing levels supernaturally this year. One of us shared a testimony of how she committed herself to this dogged practice all through last year. How many had that testimony? And everything changed for her. By November, the change began to manifest. And by January this year, it was delivered. Now she's the spokeswoman for that oil company in the whole of Africa. Everything turned. Where she would not be in 10 years' time, she came on there now. I know that where many people will not have reached in 10 years' time, God will supernaturally bring you there this year. That is what it takes. Walking in prosperity. Prosperity is not a game. It's a walk with God. A covenant walk with God is what guarantees your access to kingdom prosperity. So wake up and take responsibility. I said yesterday in a place, I said destiny is God's design, but it's only actualized by a man's responsibility. Destiny is God's great design, but actualized by man's responsibility. Destiny is not conferred on any man. Each one positions himself to actualize destiny. You have a destiny of glory, but your responsibility will determine whether you actualize it or not. He was rich, for your sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. But you may choose not to walk in it. Destiny is not conferred on any man. It's a choice with responsibility that each one has to make. You have no reason to be poor. You have no reason to be poor. Somebody already paid the full price for you to walk in prosperity. You have no reason under heaven to be poor. No matter the cost that anyone may have placed on your family, Jesus went to the cross to avert every cost. Therefore, the curse of poverty on your family lineage is broken forever. The curse of poverty on your lineage is broken forever. You have a destiny with God. Take responsibility to actualize it. He has predestinated you. That's why he called you. He called you and he justified you. And he justified you to glorify you. You have no reason suffering the shame of lack and want. Wake up and do something. And do it now. May I say this in closing? The truth is this. In my 25-year short journey in this covenant work, my tithe has never remained the same any year in 25 years. Every year something has been added from above to it, and it goes up, and it goes up. Tithe is not something you are given, it's a proportion of what you have. It's a proportion of it. That means in 25 years, God is not tired of saying, go up, my son. Come up here. Come up here. I'm not done with you yet. I'm not done with you yet. This year, as you commit yourself to dogged covenant practice, you are changing levels supernaturally. 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 Our church ministry began in 1983. And between 83 and now, we have never stayed at the same spot in 2 years. Every year was a leap forward. Why should your company and your business be at the same spot? Because we are here to receive the law on behalf of your company. When you receive that law and operate by the word, and you put iniquity from your tabernacle, see the hand of God again come. This year, I see God's unique hand coming on the works of your hand and bringing you into strange dimensions of his blessings. If that is you, let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen.